Good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz, joined by Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent today. Mayor, welcome back.
Thanks, Chuck. Always good to be here.
Well, you had something interesting over the weekend. You had the Pride Festival, and the reason why I say it's very interesting in the sense is that it was the first event that you had downtown that included limited alcohol sales as per a new ordinance that was passed earlier this year.
We had, group had West 6th out of Lexington come in, and they sold alcohol, and they were limiting folks that who purchased it to a certain area. I talked to our police officer who worked the day and some other of the folks who organized the event. There were no issues, so that's good, and it's something that just based on talking to a lot of folks who come to our festival, it's something they're wanting us to slowly integrate and to actually want us to integrate it quicker than we have. But we believe that, you know, if you can build up and show some smaller festivals and keep going like that and show that there's some positive results and you don't have any bad problems or any concerns, then maybe it can be brought up to our other festivals. There's also going to have one, I think, coming up soon, the Brouhaha they're going to have at the Art Center, which will be some local microbreweries, I believe. And, you know, those are things, whether you, you know, drink or not, the times we live in now, and when you have festivals that are very successful around us in similar communities, that's one of the things that seems to be a want by a lot of folks.
And there were fears, I know, that when you passed this, that it would almost be like a fraternity keg party out there. But at the same time, it's limited to one spot. It has to be right there by the event area. You do have a police presence. And from what I understand in talking with Police Captain Kyle Callahan, things went exceptionally well.
They really did. I talked to him. I was down there for a little while on Saturday and asked him how it was going. Then he talked to him yesterday, matter of fact, and he told me that everything went well. And the organizers of the event said they had no problems, no issues. And here's the thing. People think that if you have that at a festival that you can come in and you're going to sit over there and just swig them away and you know, get intoxicated and do whatever. But you're talking about a craft beer type drink where it's, you know, the prices aren't really there for folks to sit and drink six or seven at a time and all that. It's more of a it's more of just another food type option, if you will, and it's not something people will go and spend that much money to do that. So the key is being able to watch it and control it and have it to where it is in a designated area so that folks know that they, you know, they have to be responsible with it, and if not, actions will be taken to make sure they are. But West 6th, this is kind of their thing. They're out of Lexington. They have a beer van, I guess you call it, and they come and set up for a lot of different festivals. They actually sell alcohol here through one of our local restaurants on tap, and they're very well known around the state, and they do everything the right way as well. They don't just, you know, they have to have all their license and they have to card and everything like you would do in a regular restaurant or an establishment that sells alcohol. So we feel like starting with them and kind of having a test that kind of gives us some data as we go forward.
I know at the same time, while there will be certain events that will have those types of, say, microbrew sales or whatever, you will still have traditional events that will not offer those types of sales.
Probably not, and I think it all depends on the type of event and depends on, you know, what the event organizers think the people who will attend their event want. And if it's a group that doesn't necessarily want that, it's not something we're going to make people do or strongly suggest people do. It's just something we're going to add another option to our vendor list.
Do you feel like that this could add to the crowd sizes at some of the downtown festival type events?
I think it can on certain events. Like if we have events with you have music, you know, have a concert or those type of things, folks like to come and sit in their chair or sit on the lawn or whatever and listen to music, and some people like to have a drink while they're doing that. And you know, if it's, again, there's different type of events. The one key is, you know, you're not going to be able to walk around with an open container all over the place. That's another thing where you have the designated area. So it's more for when you're going to come and be a spectator at some sort of a music event. I see that being the primary use, but who knows? It can evolve as long as there's no problems and as long as organizers for a particular event think that that will fit with their patrons.
Among the unfinished business items from this past week's meeting, you also talked about, I guess you finished up and completed some second readings regarding taxes.
Right, and we just went ahead and set them what we had talked about on the first reading, and nothing had changed on that. I think it was raised 0.2%, and the other one stayed the same. Again, you know, those are situations where you never want to raise taxes at all. And ours are usually, we always make sure we check with the state to see what the rates are to make sure we're commensurate with them. And Chrissy does a great job. Chrissy Cunningham, our city clerk, and others who work on that. And, you know, the council felt like that was the thing to do. Again, it wasn't a huge raise, 0.2%. And, you know, based on what some other communities have done, we feel pretty comfortable.
Is that real and personal property or all taxes?
Yeah, it was real and personal property.
Yes.
And then, of course, the other one is set by the state, and we don't – it's kind of – we just have to go ahead and accept that. So.
Well, I guess just to give people an idea, when you talk about 0.2%, how much that might mean to them on the average, roughly?
Well, what is that? 0.2 is, 20 cents on a – on a $10 bill or $2 on a $100 bill, basically is what it is. And so while it is an increase, it's a very slight increase. And when you look at, you know, services and different things that we're providing and some of the improvements we've made with that, you can see that, you know, the money is being well taken care of, and we're being good stewards of it, and we're putting it out there for the use of the public.
One thing that I was going to ask you about, people may have noticed the food trucks that are around town selling at various places. I've seen a pizza food truck over there by the construction site of the new building that St. Clair Healthcare is constructing. And then also, you know, you've had some other, I guess, food sales around town and various types of vehicles. How's that going?
Well, I mean, we've not had any problems. I know that few of them were renting a couple spaces down on a lot there down on the west end of Main Street, and a couple other ones have gone and tried different locations. The one you talked about, the particular pizza place, was up there in the construction by St. Clair Medical Center, and it's our understanding, we've not got anything in stone or anything like that, but it's our understanding that's a talent, kind of a test to see if they want to come back and maybe open a store. That particular one is a well-known chain. But the rest of them, I've stopped and talked to them, and I've had several people, I've eaten at a couple of them, And for the most part, I've not heard anything negative. Even talking to them, they, you know, it's a process where some of them have not done it before, so it's learning for them. And you know, they're not going to come right out and make a killing right off the bat. But if they can establish something, and then maybe grow it from there. We started out, I think, with two, and now I think we're up to six licensed, I think, which is pretty good. And we're looking at possibilities of next year in the summer or in the spring and summer, maybe having something like a food truck Friday where we put them in a central location, maybe in the parking lot of the conference center when there's not an event, or something like other communities do where you kind of once a week have them all come one place, make it centrally located. And I expect, I've heard rumors of there's going to be at least a couple more maybe join this. So they'll probably be there through as long as the weather holds out. So far, it seems like it's been a nice addition.
What's the cost for them to be licensed?
You know what? You asked me that. It's minimal. They have to have their their license as far as their insurance, and they also have to have their business license. It's minimal. As far as a food truck license, I don't have that. I think it may be a couple $100s. It's not a huge amount. I can get that for you, so for the next show and let you know. But having their business license is minimal, and then they have to also have insurance, and they are also they have to be ready for inspection from the local inspector for the county. So You know, overall, I think it's minimal to get started as long as, you know, you have to obviously allow so much time to make that up. But I think a couple of them, if they keep coming back every week, you know, they're coming back for a reason that they're probably making some money. So we've had a few that's been very consistent all summer.
Any complaints from some of the owners of more traditional restaurants or fast food restaurants?
Not really. They've not gone to me. I eat several of them around town, and I know several of the owners, and no one has really approached me as it being a problem or anything. I know that one of our business owners, restaurant owners, is on the city council, and we've talked about it several times about different places they go, and this particular person was voted, you know, to have them in town. So I think anytime you can drive business downtown, which is our goal, to drive more pedestrian traffic downtown, if that is something that allows people to come downtown so they can also shop in our different stores and those type of things, it all works together. So, you know, I think there might be – we've not had anybody go set up in the parking lot or try to set up right next door to somebody who's selling the same exact thing as a standalone restaurant. So, and that's good. That's – you have to – you know, everybody has to work together on this. And it's new. So far, it's worked out pretty well. We hope to continue it in the future.
At city council meeting, you also heard from Scott Davison from the local Rails to Trails group. I think it's the Daniel Boone Rails to Trails group, and maybe you could discuss that.
Scott has been working very hard with his group, his Daniel Boone Rails to Trails or Triplet Creek Trails group. And, they're, you know, when you do something like that, it's a grassroots effort, and Scott's worked very hard to get a lot of money donated. He's worked hard to get grants, matching grants. He's got goods and services donated from construction companies, and his goal is very, very ambitious, but it's very attainable. He wants to have a trail that runs down through downtown, through the city parks on the bank there where the Memorial Tree Walk is. He wants to connect it all the way down Triplet and run it over to 519. Now, in order to do that, you know, there are several places, a couple of large culverts need to be put in. They've got one smaller one in, and so, you know, it could be a really nice thing that continues to add to our recreational tourism, and trails are a big thing. We were the third trail town in the state when we were adopted a few years back. We're also trying to do some more things with kayaking, trying to clean out some stuff in the creek and maybe make that a water feature as well. So what he was coming to ask for us is if he could use what we give them. We allot them so much money a year through the city to help toward this project. And he takes that. There's a grant he's applying for, one of many. But this large grant, it allows you to take contributions from partners such as the county, the city, you know, other partners, and if you add those up, and when you go turn it into the grant, it makes it look like, and it is, it shows the partnerships and the collaboration you have within a particular community. And when these grants, which are very highly competitive, they tend to be able to award them to folks who are showing a lot of cooperation and a lot of collaboration and saying, okay, these folks have raised X amount of money through partnerships and those type of things, and, you know, as opposed to somebody who's asking for it all. So by him doing that, it makes his grant application much stronger and gives us a little bit better chance of getting a grant. There's a couple of them he's working on. One of them's a small one at $10,000. Another one could be as much as $1 million. And, you know, those are very hard. The higher the dollar amount, the more competitive they are. So anything he gets, they turn it right around. They use it. Every dollar goes into this project. And so I have to give take my hat off to him because – you know, he is not going to stop until he has this completed. And again, I think it's another livability issue that really makes Moorhead continues to make us an attractive destination for folks who like the trails, who like hiking, jogging, and riding bikes. So we appreciate his hard work.
Again, our guest today on Front Page, Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent. I'm Chuck Meraz. We'll pause right here. Come back with more right after this. For money can't buy me love. Money may not be able to buy you love, but it sure can buy you a lot of great news and entertainment programming on WMKY. But that's only if you make a pledge during our fall fund drive, October 16th through the 20th. Without your generosity, none of the great stuff you hear on WMKY happens. Call with your pledge of support at 783-2001. Welcome back to today's Front Page. Again, we're talking with Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent. I'm Chuck Meraz. Mayor, I had a chance to recently chat with your counterpart at the county level, Judge Executive Walter Blevins, and he said right now, we're talking a little bit about the Sunnybrook project that's been on the table for over a decade now for a new recreation park. He said it looks like that may be off the table because of the fact that there are so many infrastructure needs out there, and right now there's just no money available for them.
That property is a wonderful piece of property. It's as far as usable right now, it's around 100 acres, maybe a little bit more. When you count the wooded area, it's almost 200 acres. I mean, it's a huge property. And the location isn't ideal for recreation. However, when we first moved out to the towards the high school years ago, 30-some years ago, everybody said that one's never going to work, and now we saw all that area's grown up. So the area is not – it's not – desirable like it other areas. However, the land is very desirable. The problem is there's so much you have to do. When we went and had a group do a study through the tourism, help us pay for a feasibility study to put ball fields out there a couple years ago, you're going to have probably two bridges put in, and you're talking about several million dollars there, $2 or $3 million there, in order to have a road that would connect both sides. And there's no sewer or water out there. So, in order to have that and have the utility plant board and do all the infrastructure costs alone, just to where you could get across the bridge or bridges, have that in there, you're talking somewhere $4 or $5 million before you've built one field. And that's just a lot of money. And we just don't have that right now. So we're, who can say what will happen in the future? I mean, it really is a nice piece of property. I played golf there. You played golf there many times, and it's a really pretty scenic area. It's just that we just don't have the money to take. The city doesn't have the money right now with some of the investment we're making closer to town with what we're trying to do with our police and fire station location, and also with the property we're in the process of purchasing for recreation. You wish you could just say, yeah, let's go do it, and. That's always been the issue, and it's just, it's tougher than people think.
So is it off the table?
Right now we're not going to say never. We discussed this last night in city council. It's something we always want to keep in the back of our mind and look at. But right now, let's just put it this way: it's not a priority for us. We've got a couple things right now. We're trying to get in the process, complete a sale or complete a purchase, and some other things. It's not a top priority for us right now. I can't say it's always off the table, but it's low on the totem pole at this point.
So do you look for possibly, or do you have another location?
Not really right now. I mean, we're concentrating on the Perkins property, trying to get that finished out, looking at how we're going to develop that. And again, we're so close to having a police and fire station property that we can announce. We're literally about a redo or a re reworked survey from having that ready to go. So we're just trying to take care of those things first, always having that in the back of the mind. If it's there, if not, then we'll move on to something else.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that police fire station that you're going to be building and where things stood, and it sounds like you're pretty close.
We're very close. We've had the survey of the land. There's a couple different things involved. It involves a state, and it also involves a utility company to have a there's a transmission line that we need to have a little bit of an easement there so we could fit what we want to do. And we're having to rework the survey a little bit to make sure we account for some things. But I've been in contact with both entities, the state and the utility company, for, every week for the last 6 weeks or 8 weeks, and had a phone call yesterday, and they said this is what we need to do. We got a couple of the things. It's sent back to the surveyor. So we're the closest we've ever been. And it was my hope we could announce it at the city council meeting, but we can't. We're pushing towards and think we'll be able to have an announcement by the November meeting of where it's going to be and all that. So, we're very close. And matter of fact, we're so close we started taking preliminary drawings for the building and those type of things. So,
has this process taken a lot longer than what you thought it might initially?
When I first took over, it was one of the first things we did week one. It'll be 3 years in January since I took over, and we've been working on this. It's when you sit down and you think, oh, we can put it over here. There's a piece of land. Oh, we can put it over here. Like I've told you over the last 2.5, almost 3 years, one thing or another, either cost, or either easements or either, you know, the ability to get a fire truck in and out, or there's just so many things that have gone through. And, it's taken much longer than I thought. But here's the thing. That's as long as I've been working on it. And you know, previous mayor and administrations have wanted to do this as well. So this has been several years. And so what a great day it'll be when we can go out and have a hard hat on and put a golden shovel in the ground. That's what I told him. So that's all I want for Christmas, I told him. That's all I want is to be able to announce that and do that. So the police and fire chief have been very good. They've been working very, very closely with our folks and trying to get some things. And they're tickled to death with this particular piece of property. I'll be excited to come out and announce this and describe it all to everybody when it happens. But yeah, you never think it's going to take this long. You never do, but sometimes that's the way it goes.
Kind of dovetailing off of that issue, I understand that there was a resolution approved regarding the financing of the new ladder truck, an important piece of equipment for the Morehead Fire Department.
It's about $1.17 million. We'll round up. I hate to round up to 1.2, but it's about 1.17. And we got the financing 15 years there with BB&T, and we talked about some provisions in there. They allow you to, after the first half of the, I forget what it was, I think it's after the first half of the note, you can then pay it off with any prepayment penalty. And we were just looking at all kinds of financing options to try to make sure, again, we get the most bang for the buck for our citizens. And it's something that's been needed for a long time. The one we have now, I believe, is 31 or 32 years old. And, you know, if you look at it, it doesn't look that old. They take great care of it. But when hydraulics and those type of things start becoming obsolete and you can't replace them, then it becomes a safety issue. So you don't really have a choice. And when we're getting this is not the bottom of the line. This is not the top of the line. This is somewhere that is right in, you know, fits in our budget. And it's something that the company we're having it built by is they've been building them for over 100 years. They're out of Ohio, the Suffin Company. And our chiefs went up and actually went to the factory and done all the due diligence there. So, again, you don't think a fire truck would cost over $1 million.
I don't buy a lot of fire trucks, so I'm not really.
I know, really sure. Me neither. So I always ask people, what do you think? Oh, I don't know, a couple $100,000. Here's what people need to remember. 30 years ago, it cost $400,000. So I'm sure that was a tough pill to swallow 30 years ago. Excuse me.
Well, I guess we're getting close to wrapping up. You've got a couple minutes left, but we've discussed this before, but explain to people how you're going to cover that $1.2 million. We're a small city of about, 7,000 or so roughly. And when you talk about eating $1.2 million up to pay for a new ladder truck, again, which is badly needed, you have to find a way to pay for it. You've chosen to finance it, but how do you do that?
Well, it goes into our budget. I mean, we're able to you know, fortunately, we've had good audits the last 2 years going into the third year. The auditors just finished this past week. We'll hear that towards the end of the calendar year. And, you know, we work very hard to make sure that, you know, we maximize our budget, meaning we don't spend everything in our budget. You know, we have five departments, and every department head works very hard to make sure that we get what they need. They have it budgeted if necessary, but almost always they come in 20% under budget. And the reason they do that is it's not because, you know, they're not getting what they want. We have that allowable buffer in there. But because they do and take such good care and look for grants, I mean, the fire department, police department, they look for grants, and the police department uses their money they get from drug seizures and those type of things. They use everything they can, and they're not out here just blowing money willy-nilly. So the fact of the matter is the folks take such good care of it. It allows us then over a couple years to build up enough to have that to be able to pay the debt service where it's not going to cause it, so we don't have to raise taxes to do it. And that's the good thing. You know, some departments, some cities, they have to raise taxes for everything they buy. If they get anything over $1 million, they'll raise the taxes. Fortunately, we don't have them to do that, and that's because our folks really work hard. They squeeze everything they can get out of the vehicles and the equipment they have, and that's why we're proud and glad to be able to reward 30-some years of use and taking good care of it and being able to then reward them for the way they take care of their budgets and take care of their program. So, we had to borrow the money, but we had it available in our budget to cover the debt services without having to raise taxes. It's always a good thing.
Mayor, it's always good to talk to you. Thanks for coming over.
Thank you.
Warhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent. I'm host of Front Page, Chuck Moraz. See you next time.